How many of you know? I only deliver the word to you that the Lord asked me to deliver, okay? Thank you, Lena. Still love. Father, Father, we pray this morning. We open our heart to heartfelt obedience. Lord, it is your word. It's communication that fosters relationship. And then relationship fosters intimacy. And then intimacy fosters obedience from the heart. And we do not want to be hearers of the word only. So I pray, Holy Spirit, speak to each person who's worshiping online as well as those that are present with me right now in this moment. Begin speaking to us on what will ensure our obedience to what you're saying to us today. We do not want to be just hearers of the word. We want to be the word made flesh. And Lord, as you deal with our tongues today, as you deal with our mouths and the things that we say, and Lord, how it can affect relationship and partnership in the kingdom of God, we want this word to be made flesh in us. We do not want to just amen it, but Lord, we want you to show us, Lord, I want to walk this out from my heart. Show me the path to righteousness, Lord. Show me the path to what your will, not my will, looks like. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. Amen. We're going to obey God. How exciting. So today, we've spent 13, I would say hours, almost an hour, on pathways to partnership. This was definitely a word to the Lord, a word of the Lord to Grace Church for this year, that we're united, we're walking out our oneness, we're moving towards reconciliation, working from unity, we're trusting Christ in each other. Amen, somebody. Amen. So we're concluding it today in part 14. We pray this has been a great blessing to you. We pray it sets Grace Church on fire with the will of the Lord. That not my will, but your will be done, Lord. I subdue the flesh in Jesus' name to walk by the Spirit. Because he desires that we be partners in the gospel. We are here to partner with him in the gospel. No matter what happens Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, what are we? Partners in the gospel. Amen, amen. So he wants us to partner together in advancing his kingdom one heart at a time. And as we do that, as we work together in unity and in our oneness, what happens? It causes the world to know. John 17, that God loves them just like he loves Jesus and that God sent Jesus Christ here for them. The world begins to see it through our unity and through our oneness and our hearts for peace and reconciliation. They also see the principle. It unleashes the principle of possibility. Genesis 11, nothing will be impossible if we're in one heart, one mind, speaking the same language. Genesis 11, 7. And then God commands life and blessing on unity, not dysfunction, not division, which means multiple visions, but he commands life and blessing upon unity. So there's a lot of great benefits to it. Here's the five core tenets. We have purposed for now 14 weeks that we're going to honor each other. We're going to be humble towards each other. We're going to trust one another. We're going to walk in the unity of the Spirit. We're going to have hearts for reconciliation. And oh my goodness, Sister Annie, the family pastor, had a word from the Lord yesterday in Prayer Shield. I'm just going to release it. I'm going to pray into it. The word of the Lord was, don't do this just in church. Will you let me build your houses, your homes, and your families around these? Father, in Jesus' name, we repent of how we've treated each other in the home and family. We repent of how we've treated and talked to each other in our marriages. And we ask, Lord, for the manifestation of the word of honor. We want a culture of honor in our own house. That we're humble towards each other. We're trusting Christ in each other. We're in the unity of the Spirit towards one another. And that we always move towards reconciliation. So we just receive that word, Lord. That's a word from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we want this to govern our homes, families, and marriages. We want the five core tenets to govern all leadership teams at Grace Church. Somebody say amen. We want these five core tenets to govern our relationship with each other. Remember we talked about pre-service ministry and post-service ministry. We minister to each other, even though the service is, quote, over. There's post-service ministry. What is that? We love on each other. We talk to each other. We ask, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? Post-service ministry is not a beeline to the restaurant. Let's beat the Baptist to Los Tapatillos or whatever. That's not post-service ministry. We tarry. We invest in each other. We love one another. Hey, we might even exchange phone numbers. Whoa. Yeah. And be like, can I call you this week? And we pray about some things. Amen. Amen. Let the church be the church. Amen. This is what disciples of Jesus do. You're not church members. You're disciples of Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus even supersedes your political stance. You're not a Republican or a Democrat, first and foremost. You're a child of the living God who is a demonstration of the greatest form of government ever introduced to mankind. Inward governing by the power of the Spirit of God. That's the greatest form of government. I mean, you know, politics can't change the heart of a man. Jesus Christ can. He'll change his motive. Police and politics can affect people's outer behavior, which sounds like this, behave or else. Aren't you glad the baby in the manger didn't show up amidst claps of thunder and lightning? God, a voice from heaven said, obey me or else. How do you foster a relationship that way? No, he came humbly. The king came humbly, quietly, into humility. A manger, a stable, really. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Do you know he still comes that way? The king still comes in humility. There is a day coming. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But right now, it's the kingdom of an offer, not a demand. And I like it because it's an offer. I can receive him of my own volition and give my heart fully to him. I'm not doing it out of fear. I'm doing it out of love. And so we become the embodiment of the greatest form of government ever introduced to mankind. Politicians cannot save this country. Only the kingdom of God in the hearts of human beings can save this country. Amen. And I'm talking about us. Man, don't put all your hopes in a politician. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, start with me. Let me affect change in the country by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went about doing good, right? Full of the Holy Spirit, doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's our job description. And we live in a world that's fallen deeply into hatred and division and disunity and dysfunction and deception and all those things. So we're to shine. Everybody say shine. We're to shine amidst a culture of division and dishonor. We're the people of honor. We know how to honor people because everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. Everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. Well, how can they vote that way? It's called deception. And the same thing that deceives them, the same enemy, is the one that deceives you. Don't act like you've never been deceived. Don't become so Christian you can't relate to sinners. Amen, somebody. So we're here amidst a culture of death and dishonor and disunity. The Lord's asking us at Grace Church to build a culture of life, not death, light, not darkness, love, not hate, unity, and put his kingdom on display for the world to see. They'd be like drawn. I want to be a part of that spiritual family. I want to be a part of that political party, the kingdom of God. Amen. That's the party I want to be part of. Look at how they love each other. Look at how they work towards reconciliation. Look how they part ways with the flesh and their ego. And they work towards the peace of the living God because he simply said, on earth as it is in heaven. There's no fussing and fighting in heaven. So we have to pray again, Lord, not my will, but thine will be done. I want what you want. Can I get a witness that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should look, talk, and act differently than the world? Amen. We should be different. Yes. Well, truth is, we are different in Christ, but we need to walk that out. We need to be that word made flesh. I've got a couple of prophetic words I want to share with you. Let me go back to this. So you don't cheat. November 14th, 2019, the Lord said to Grace Church, a portal is opening over Grace Church. A portal, a doorway to the throne of God, to the Spirit. Forming partnerships that are strife-free, sin-free, and stress-free. As humility wins the day, and no one cares who gets the credit, but only that Jesus Christ is glorified in, at, and through Grace Church. Amen. I want us to walk that word out. I want us to be one with that. That's a powerful truth. This one was given in January by the Oklahoma City Ministerial Prayer Alliance. They came here and prayed in our sanctuary back in January 2020. And here's what they said. This is what the word of the Lord was. The Spirit of the living God, you say, well, how do you know this? Because we record it. That's how we know. The Spirit of the living God is growing Grace Church step by step and grace by grace into the fullness of the greater expression of Jesus in this territory. Have you figured out yet that Grace Church is all about Jesus? Amen. The Lord is increasing your hunger and thirst for righteousness in this house, and it shall be filled. Be salty, Grace Church. So salty that others will want what you have. Amen. Somebody this week, do a study on salt for me and just email it to me. I meant to do that. I didn't get to do it. I know it preserves. I know it heals. But somebody, you know, do some research for me. My email is steve@gracechurch.community. Don't use that against me. Don't send me hate mail. But I'd love to know all the beauty of salt. Because the word of the Lord was, be salty, Grace Church. People will be drawn from north, south, east, and west to this place of refreshing and liberty. As people come and receive, they will go sow it and dispense it. For there's a liveliness of the Spirit that will arise from the people here. A liveliness of the Spirit. Is that how your family characterizes you? And it's okay if they don't yet. But this is what he sees in you. A liveliness of his Spirit. This is a liberating people who are free themselves and help lead others to freedom. Touch your neighbor and say, it's not all about you. Touch him again and say, I'm glad you're free. But part of being a disciple is you don't just celebrate, you're free, yay, I'm going to heaven. We want to help set others free and bring them into a personal knowing of Jesus. Here's the rest of it. I see an enlarged platform increasing under your feet as the Lord makes himself known in dynamic ways. Grace Church has been placed here to transform this territory and establish God's kingdom realm here. There's a releasing of people into their gifts. The body making increase of itself in love. We bless the nurturing atmosphere of this house where people are introduced to Christ and saints are developed into mature leaders in the kingdom of God. I'm going to say it again. There's a releasing of people into their gifts, the body making increase of itself in love. We bless the nurturing atmosphere of this house. A nurturing atmosphere is like a mother and father spiritual family atmosphere. New believers are nurtured in the kingdom of God. Amen? We don't say, way to go, Christy. You met Jesus. Congratulations. Good luck with that. Christy comes to Christ. Gets water baptized. We celebrate with her. We enter into relationship with her. We walk with her. And I don't mean all, you know, a couple of hundred of us. I mean, there's a select few that the Lord has assigned that she can walk with that will nurture her relationship with Jesus. That's discipleship. Church membership won't do that. Church membership is, hey, high five. Way to go. See you next week. See, and we wonder why the body of Christ in America looks the way it does. Why is the body of Christ so immature? Because nobody's developed the babies. We all celebrated the wedding and forgot about the marriage. But can I get a witness? The reason he would save Christy is for the marriage. I mean, he loves the wedding day, but the marriage is what he had in mind. We've got to possess this same heart of Jesus. So that's the nurturing atmosphere. We have fathers and mothers who walk alongside of people to help them live connected to Jesus, the vine. People are introduced to Christ here. Saints are developed into mature leaders in the kingdom of God. Will you stand with me? I want to pray with you. No, we're not done. Everybody got excited, Gavin. I'm just kidding. Open your hands with me. I got to do this. The Lord asked me to do it. Father, this morning, we thank you for a releasing of the gifts in this house. Oh, hallelujah. There's a releasing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit within this house. Lord, I thank you for heartfelt obedience among each one. Some of you, I believe there's even a tingling on your hands. There's a warmth coming to your hands. It's just the Holy Spirit confirming to you that you have gifts. You have things He's placed within you that belong to Him for the purpose of meeting human need all around you and through you. Father, I thank you for eyes to see right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for ears to hear right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of miracles, gifts of healing, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. I thank you, Father, for all the gifts of the Spirit that are being released now in this house. This is your word to us. There's a releasing of people into their gifts. I also pray, Lord, no ceilings, no religious spirits in the name of Jesus. But Lord, let the men be who they're supposed to be. Let the women be who they're supposed to be. We bind any religious spirits. Let them enter into all their God-given destiny, Lord, and to activate the gifts. Activate the gifts. Say that with me, church. Say, Lord, activate the gifts in me. Activate the gifts in me. Activate the gifts in me. Glory to God. Father, I thank you. I thank you that these gifts are coming to the forefront. They will not be hindered. They'll not be limited. But Lord, and there'll be no pride associated with it in the name of Jesus, no flesh, because Lord, they're not about us. They're here to meet human need. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, glory to your name, tongue interpretation, miracles, Lord, all those gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Lord, what you desire. What you desire, Lord, apostolic gifts, evangelistic gifts, pastoring gifts, teaching gifts, and prophetic gifts. Lord, we just release these. We activate them within this body. In the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody said, amen. Clap your hands, all you people. Glory, 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 glory. All right, you may be seated. Father, I thank you for mothers and fathers that will help mature these gifts. I also thank you for opportunities, Lord, for us to operate in them. And that we'll do it by a spirit of grace, Lord, not by performance or by law, but by grace and by love. We'll learn and we'll grow together. Yes, we'll make some mistakes, but that's okay. Thank you for mothers and fathers in the various gifts who come alongside. Lord, a school of gifts, Lord, school of prophecy, school of evangelism, whatever it may be, whatever you desire, in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, amen. Glory to his name. So if that's a powerful word that's been released into this house by people that don't even go here. What happens is they come in, they just make connection. I mean, the Spirit of God knows no boundaries. Even though they might pastor other churches or be from Oklahoma City or wherever, they come in, they connect with the Spirit of God, and then they say what they see. That's what happens. They say what they see. And now we're going to see what's been said. Amen. We're going to see what's been said. Well, the last thing the Lord wanted me to show you this morning, and so into the Grace Church body, is the power of our words. This is crucial. What we say is crucial to honor. Wouldn't you agree? Because your words could be very dishonoring. It'd be crucial to humility because your words can be very prideful. I told Stacy the other day, I said, that's a very prideful statement. And she said, no, it's not. And I said, yes, it is. No, it's not. Only by pride comes contention. And I'm saying I was prideful in my response because she didn't believe it was. And then it's, you know, 3-year-old tantrum time back and forth. It all ended well, though. So it's crucial to walking in honor towards each other. How about being humble, trusting, unity, reconciliation? Whether you know this or not, your words have power. Now, come on, let's plug in. Because your words have power. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue has a power to it. And it's so powerful that it has death and life within it. And those who love it will eat its fruit. There's fruit that comes from the words we say. Oh, help us, Lord. You have the ability to bring life to someone. You have the ability to encourage somebody. You have the ability to bring life into your marriage, your family, your home, your church. You can speak life about Grace Church. Or you can speak death. If you're part of the worship ministry, you can speak life about what it is to work alongside Gavin and all the different facets of worship ministry, or you can speak absolute death. Maybe you're part of the ushers and you don't like how it's going. You can speak life or death as part of the ministry of ushers. It applies all across the board. Your words can bring healing or hurt and harm. And we need to speak words that build up, not tear down. Can I get a witness that our words can build? You're going to build something. And it can be life or death. And can I get a witness that some of you need to speak life to yourselves? Some of you are your own worst enemy. You're tearing yourself down. You need to build yourself up. I love David, you know, even when everybody left him and it was horrible, he encouraged himself in the Lord, the Bible says. He encouraged himself. Let your words be constructive, not destructive. Blessing, not cursing. Sweet water, not bitter water. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Diane. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Remember when we prayed about obedience? Don't forget that. Be asking the Lord, Lord, how can I walk this out? What do you want me to do? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Stacy, would you look up that passage in the Message Bible for me? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Look at this one. You're going to love this one. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you along with all malice. Jody's been looking up these words this week. I never got the full report on it, but I know malice means your desire to injure someone, to pay somebody back. Let all that be put away from you. Our country needs this. That's what I'm saying. If you're always identifying yourself as a Republican or a Democrat, you're going to fall right into that fray. You've got to recognize my real identity is way higher than Republican, Democrat, or even American. And I'm a patriot. I'm very grateful to be in this country. And I've been to Philippines and different places on mission trips, which, by the way, pray for the Philippines. The super typhoon is there right now. And we have ministry partners there. So be in prayer for them. Thank you. Okay, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, thanks. Way to go, Noelle. So I'm not saying you're not an American. You are, and be proud of that in a humble, grateful kind of way, not an elitist way, but a humble way. But be more than that, beyond that, you're a born-again child of God. You're part of the kingdom of God. That is your real identity. So there is no excuse. We have no excuse to say, no, well, I'm just going to hang on to my bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking because they don't vote like me. You cannot do that. You are a child of God. And you can't identify yourself so much with political parties that you end up acting in the flesh. Thank you, Gladys. Amen. Look at verse 32. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted. Forgive each other, even as God in Christ forgave you. You're already forgiven. That price has already been paid. So you need to dance with it. So he leads in the new covenant by what he supplies. He's already supplied you forgiveness. So receive it so you can give it. All right, this is the Message Bible. Verse 29. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word being a gift to someone else. Amen. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing inside you is the most intimate part of you. Yes, Lord. That's your identity right there. That's who you really are. Man. Sometimes I wish we could just do this every day. Just every day. You see how good it is to get in the Word together? And I guess we can on smaller scales, but it's just, I just sense it. It's just rich for our heart. The most intimate part of you is the Holy Spirit moving and breathing inside you, making you fit for Himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with each other. Be sensitive to one another. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Come on, give God praise for that. That's powerful. That's out of the Message Bible. That is so good. And I think at times we underestimate the power of what we say. And what we release with our words and with our tongues. Here's the Amplified Bible of verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let all resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, hello America, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive, blasphemous language be banished from you along with all malice and spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. Amen to that. And then verse 32, and become useful and helpful and kind to each other, tender-hearted. Boy, all this tells me is we got to be in the Word every day. Just make a shift. Make a decision right now. I know the Holy Spirit's supposed to be helping you to make your own plan to walk out obedience today. I'm telling you, and I'm speaking to myself, we got to be in the Word every day. I mean, we're going to live in this culture. We've got to be in the Word every day reading things like this. We're going to be useful, helpful, kind to each other, tender-hearted, which means compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. What a great character trait to have. Are you ready? Quick to forgive. You know, one of the things I love about John, maybe they'll say it at your funeral. One of the things I love about Jill, one of the things I love about Bill, quick to forgive. How about this one? Quick to repent. Quick to apologize. Do you know what to say when someone apologizes to you? Stacy and I have been practicing this. What you say is, thank you, you are loved. Amen. Good. It's good. All right, how about this? Let's go to Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4, because again, what we say has a lot of power. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Verse 4. Do not incline my... Does that sound familiar? Where do your words come from? Okay, so he ties it. Don't incline my heart to evil. To practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. Don't let me eat of their delicacies. And then Psalm 19, 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my because my words come from my heart. Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm not here to change your talk. I'm not here to change your confession. I'm here to admonish you by the Spirit of God. Will you invite him to examine your heart and let your mouth be the diagnostic tool of what is wrong ultimately inside of me, Lord? Have I clung to malice? Have I clung to bitterness? And when I hear it out of my mouth, that's my diagnostic tool. Don't say to yourself, oh, I better change my confession. I better change what I'm saying. It's coming from your broken heart. We need a balance in this. I came through some of the faith movement of the 90s. It's like you couldn't even say, that scared me to death. They're like, you're cursing yourself. Don't say those things. I don't care what you're saying. If your heart is corrupt, that's why you're saying it. Don't fix the outside of a man. If you'll clean the inside of the cup, the outside will become clean naturally. So we don't clean up our language. Don't leave here. Clean up my language. Invite the Lord to clean up your heart. Somebody give him praise in the house of God. That's where the issue is. It's on the inside. Woo, it's on the inside. So he's going to link our mouths being pure with keeping our heart pure from evil. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 12. You guys know it. Jesus said it. You guys know where I'm going. Matthew 12, 34. How can you, Jesus said, being evil, speak good things? For out of an abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his own heart brings forth good things. Yet an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Okay, it's not a confession issue, guys. It's a heart issue. Let your mouth be a diagnostic tool. It's a blessing, guys. And I know you don't like everything that comes out of your mouth, but it helps you see it and hear it because the heart is hidden from you. Sometimes it can be even what? Deceitfully wicked. It can deceive us. It can trick us, the inward motive of what's really there. Well, if it's coming out of your mouth, let that diagnose that, Lord, I need to invite you to be Lord in this area of my heart. Because every time I talk about Bill, venom comes out. There's something here where Bill is on the throne of my heart instead of you. Jesus didn't say Bill is the branch and you're the vine. Jesus said, I'm sorry. He didn't say Bill is the vine and you're the branch. Jesus said, I'm your vine. So if your heart is hooked up to him, what's going to come out of your mouth? Him. Things of him. It's a diagnostic tool. Asking the Holy Spirit to set a guard over our mouths is just another discipline we can have that'll help us bear much fruit and walk out the five core tenets in this house and outside of this house of honor, humility, unity, trust, and reconciliation. This is who we are. Your mouth, again, as I said, will reveal where your heart is. Your mouth will tell you whether you're in the flesh. Your mouth will tell you whether you're being prideful. Amen? No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It'll reveal it. So I'm just here to remind you this morning, it's important to have your heart full of the Holy Spirit. It's important to have your heart full of the Word of God. It's important to give the Holy Spirit charge of your tongue. And it's very important. I think our tongue and our mouth is a pathway, an expression that we've hidden the five core tenets in our heart. I've got honor in my heart for you. I have humility in my heart for you. I've got unity and trust and reconciliation in my heart for you. So it's coming out of my mouth. So how do we do that? Okay, how do I make sure my heart is full? Well, sit with the Lord. Spend time with him. You become like whoever you hang out with. Invite him to examine your heart, especially when you blow it. That's why that word, you know, I'm tired of the enemy hijacking our mistakes. How many of you do feel bad when you do a big piece of stupid? I mean, right? Okay, that's proof the Holy Spirit is in you. So stop giving all the credit to the devil. Stop letting him beat you up. What if you did a big piece of stupid, the Lord showed that to you, not to condemn you, but to teach you and to be able to heal that part of your heart that needs healing. You see what I'm saying? We always let the enemy run amok with guilt and shame and embarrassment for something we've done. When, how about letting the Lord use your mess up, your big piece of stupid, to teach you, to coach you through it? Now I feel loved. When the Lord's talking to me about mistakes I've made, I feel loved. Even if he rebukes me and corrects me, I feel loved. When the enemy's got a hold of my past and my mistakes, I feel shame, guilt, and separation. I feel death. So stop letting the enemy hijack your mistakes and realize, you know what? Well, I'll just tell you how all this came to be. The other Monday night, we're sitting there with my men's group I've told you about on Monday night. And at dinner, we spent 2 hours at the dinner table from 6:30 to 8:30 because the Spirit of the Lord just moved in and we began, and I shared mine too. I think I went first. Just shared the areas of weakness and where I regret that I stumble, you know, over and over again. We spent 2 hours doing that. And then the Lord spoke to me, because if you looked at our countenance, it's kind of like, man, dang it. And the Lord said, am I not giving you the desires of your heart? Did not every one of you men ask me to conform you to my image? I'm the one showing you where you've misstepped. It's not the enemy. Stop giving him credit for me growing you up and making you look like me. Come on, somebody. Amen. Even our mistakes become successes to him because he's redemptive and he's a great teacher. There's a lot to be said about what we say. We're not going overboard. I mentioned the ultra faith thing. You know, it's all about what you say. No, it's about what's inside your heart. The Bible teaches even that you have the ability to frame your own world. Hebrews. Frame the world by the words that we say. So, you have a choice. Your words can be dark, negative, pessimistic, or full of light and life and hope. How many of you know the Lord's not going to choose for you? Now, he'll influence your heart towards his way. You're promised that in Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. But it's our choice whether it's going to be negativism, pessimism, running people down, or if it's going to be light and faith and hope and encouragement. It's interesting. I think I have time to share this, but I've got a lot of trees. How many of you know over the last few years, I've taken up a love for pine trees? And so I've planted several out the house. Well, this week was very hard on them and therefore hard on me. Because, you know, where I live out in the country, you just stand still outside. You can hear them. They're just breaking and crumbling under the weight of the ice. And so I'm in my truck lamenting. I'm in Lamentations, Kyle. I cannot pull myself up out of this. Is killing me. Lord, please. Oh, and the other problem was I'd been praying, Lord, please raise the temperature. I went outside in the yard in the rain and I prayed. And I declared that our property belongs to the kingdom of God. We have the lordship of Jesus Christ over these trees and over this property and the power lines and all that stuff. We lost power too for 2 days, despite my prayers. And I asked the Lord, raise the temperatures or send the sun or stop the rain in Jesus' name. And I'm praying these things fervently and nothing's changing. That's how I got reminded of how blessed are they who've not seen and still believe. Hebrews 11, there's heroes of the faith who didn't see everything they prayed for. Come on, amen. If you're not careful, we'll think God just works for us. Like, what's wrong? Lord, my prayers are good. You know, I know better than you what the weather should look like. I really was. It was creeping upon me judgment upon the job that God was doing as God. So I got in my truck and I just said, Lord, please speak to me. And I hit shuffle on my worship playlist and it was an old Kent Henry song that starts, you are my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I will ever praise you. Oh, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Who am I? You are God. I am not. And he said, Steve, instead of lamenting what's going on, how about you partner with me to clean it up and make everything better? I said, absolutely. And just like that, all that weight was lifted off of me. Amen. I don't ever want to be caught casting stones at God for being God. I want to partner with him to make whatever's happening in the world better. Come on, give him praise for that. That's a good word. All right. Wow, it's already 10:38. Sorry. I got a whole page of notes right here to go. There's a lot of bad things that can come from the words we say. You know, we can hurt our children. We can hurt our grandchildren. We can hurt our spouse, our family, our coworkers, those kind of things. The Bible speaks of many of these things, murmuring and complaining, gossip, slander, a critical spirit, all those kinds of things. So there's a lot of negative, but I want to give you the positive. Aren't you grateful for that? Guess what we can do with our mouths? We can praise God. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord. What about if your tree limbs are breaking? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be. Now, isn't that something that should proves to us we're made for Him? Because when Steve went from lamenting all that's going on with the weather to I'm going to praise Him and I'm going to acknowledge He is God and I'm going to partner with Him, that we're going to fix this, we'll do something with it. Immediately, my heart was right. I felt peace. I felt joy. Isn't that amazing? It's just proof, biologically, humans are made to live connected to the Lord. Amen. We're made for faith and trust and not mistrust. So anyway, instead of running people down, we can fill our mouths with the praise of God. Why murmur and complain when we can worship the Lord with our mouths? The Hebrew word here for His praise will continually be in my mouth is the word tehillah. Tehillah praise, not tequila praise. Tehillah praise. Some of you back in the day probably had some tequila praises. Jose Cuervo or whatever. Do what? And the curse? What does that mean? Oh, what's the tequila curse? Okay, never mind. For another time. So it's tequila praise, not tequila praise. Now, this is what it means. This is why eating the Word is so important. So you need to come when we start getting into eating the Word, looking in the Strong's and all that. Because the English language is very concise. And this word praise, you'll see it all throughout Scripture. But in the Hebrew, there's 8 or more different words for praise. So you don't get that when you read the English Bible, like if you could read Hebrew, but many of us cannot. So it's important that we learn how to use the Strong's. We eat the Word together. We'll be doing more and more of that because we want the saints to be equipped. We want the saints to be empowered. Amen. Amen? Amen. We want you to know the Scriptures, not just some person in the pulpit. We want everybody to be equipped with the knowledge of God. So the word tehillah praise means this, the high, unrehearsed, unlearned praises of God. What it is whenever we're worshiping and then we turn the words off and we're just singing right out of our heart, writing our own song, if you will. Does that make sense? Spontaneous worship. High, unrehearsed worship. Nobody practiced it. It's born right out of the spirit of the worshiper. That is tehillah praise. Singing praise to God right from your heart. See, and I could tell you, hey, don't say this, don't say that. Or I could say, let the high praise of God be in your mouth. I could tell you, hey, bless the Lord at all times. Let His praise continually be in your mouth. It's hard to think about negativism when you're thinking about God. Come on, Holy Ghost. It's hard to be spewing death on everybody when you're looking life square in the face. And I mean life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to fill our hearts so full of thoughts towards God, our mouths don't have room to criticize other people. James 3:10 says, with the same mouth we bless God and curse men made in the image of God. Brethren, it ought not to be so. James 3:10, with the same mouth we'll bless God and then curse men made in the image of God. It should not be. How do we fill our heart? I talked about this earlier. Sitting with the Lord, abiding in Him, living all day with Him on your mind, living connected to Him, sitting with Scripture. Abiding in Him, living connected to His Spirit, sitting with Scripture. We've already established today, we need to be in the Word every day, guys. We do. And then rest in the love of God. You want to go do a Bible study of some kind? Start studying the love of God. It'll blow your mind. Be in relationship with the Holy Spirit, and then know your identity. Know that your identity comes from your Heavenly Father. That's what I liked about Clay's prophetic word this morning. Paul was secure in who he was that released him to say what the Lord asked him to say. Sounds like Jesus Christ. You're my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased. The Father secured Jesus in his sonship, and then he began his ministry. Okay, so identity is crucial. Number two, we can impart grace to the hearer. I took this from Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, so I'll not read that one to you again. But we can use our mouths to actually impart grace. A supernatural strength, that's what grace is, a supernatural power of Christ upon your spouse. You can impart grace to your family by what you say. Amen. You can impart grace to your children by what you say. Boy, I admonish you parents, fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, speak life over and into your children. They get enough death in the world and from the internet and from television and all those things. Do not let your home just be a place where your kids receive correction only. Let it be a place where they get rebuilt by the very words of God Himself. They get retooled by the very words of God that have supernatural strength and power. Lord, so be it. May our house never be solely a house of correction. But let us impart grace to the family. How does it happen? Because parents allow an abundance of the grace of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God in their own hearts. And by our own words, we frame the atmosphere of our home. By our own words and the posture of our heart, we frame the atmosphere of our marriage and family. And then lastly, number three, we can bring health, life, and healing. Look at Proverbs 12:18. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Father God, let our words be those words that bring healing. Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His word and it healed us. Did you know when you speak and agree with the word of God that brings faith, you can bring and release faith in people's lives by speaking and agreeing God's word over them. Absolutely can do it. Even when you speak His word, you're in alignment with Him, it can inbirth faith and healing and blessing in those around you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. Gavin, you guys go ahead and come. Oh, I don't know where he went. Matt, go ahead and come. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. What a great assessment. Lord, are my words life-giving? Are my words a life-giving fountain? At my funeral, is that what they're going to say about me? My dad's words were like a life-giving fountain to us. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Imagine Grace Church and the people of Grace Church who are known as a fountain or a well of life. That includes speaking the truth in love. Amen, somebody. We're not just coming against, well, it's all got to be cherry pie and roses that comes out of our mouth. You can speak the truth, just do so in love, out of your concern for them. Speak truth to other people because you care what happens to them. Amen. More than you care about being right, you care for them. Well, that's a great statement. If you're taking notes, write that down. Lord, more than I care about being right, let me care about who I'm speaking to. Yeah. All right, and then Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words are a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. You know, people can partake of the fruit of your lips. There's lips that can what? Give thanks. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Let your children, let your family, let your co-workers, let your fellow disciples here at Grace Church and beyond, let them eat of good fruit from your lips. And then the last one, Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. It's amazing what happens. And we see it here all the time when we gather together. We see it at discovery groups. We see it within discipleship groups. A word spoken right from the Spirit and breath of God at just the right time. That's why we thank God for the gifts. We thank God for the prophetic gift, for the words of knowledge, all those things. A word spoken in due season. How good. And that word good means beneficial, pleasant, healthy it is. Will you stand with me? Again, I want to say we pray this has been a great blessing to you. Matter of fact, can we just give God praise for the last 14 weeks of Pathways to Partnership? Father God, we are yours. We belong to you. Body, soul, and spirit, Lord, belong to you. And we want to be partners in your gospel together. I thank you, Lord, this morning that you're speaking to each and every one about our obedience, Lord, and examining our own heart. I pray for those this morning. I don't even have to ask for a show of hands. I pray for those this morning who know they have areas in their heart, maybe within their marriage even, that they have unforgiveness. Maybe areas of bitterness or malice. Lord, we invite you to be Lord, to bring healing in those places. And Lord, would you grant us some accountability, brothers and sisters, that love us enough to say, hey, how are you doing walking that out? How are you doing with your obedience? That you've given the Lord your whole heart so that nothing unclean, no bitter water would come out of there. So I thank you, Lord, for healing our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for setting a guard on our mouths. We are not to be one another's judge in this. But let us walk it out in graciousness, kindness, and the love of Christ. Lord, make Grace Church everything you want us to be. And let it be as far-reaching as you want it to be. But we say once again with all fervor and passion, let your kingdom come to this earth. Let your will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, give him praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you need prayer, if you need encouragement, or you just want to connect, hang around. We'll visit with you. Otherwise, let's go change our world.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.